hearing faith messages. No. Building up yourself the most holy faith. Reading the Bible. No. All of those things build the fruit of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But now, he's saying, I want you to build up the other kind of faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. If you want the gift of faith to operate in your ministry and in your charge, you must learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost to build up the gift of faith within you. I didn't know this. I thought that God would just spontaneously, sovereignly, dump the gift of faith upon people. I thought that I had nothing to do with it. When I discovered that God used this method to release the gift of faith, I found out he used it to release all the gifts. I had a deacon once that I thought was absolutely, he was peculiar. His name was Malin Marcellus. His very name made him peculiar. And I'd ask for Brother Marcellus to pray for the offering. He started in English and then in tongues. I'd ask him to pray for the opening of the service. He'd start in English and then in tongues. I'd ask him to come and help pray for the sick. He'd start in English and then in tongues. You'd have him give the benediction. He'd start in English and then in tongues. I went to his house for dinner. And he asked a blessing on the food. Started in English and ended in tongues. I said, he's a fanatic. He's a fanatic. I couldn't understand why he was always praying in the Spirit until one day I found out. Brother Marcellus worked in a shipyard, naval shipyard. It had rained, the water all over the ground, puddles. He was directing a crane operator with hand signals. They were moving a 10-foot square steel box across the naval yard. And he was giving hand signals, backing up, and giving directions so that they could get this box placed in the right place. No one saw that crane boom moved within 7 feet of a high-tension wire. Instantaneously, 14,000 volts arced over. Came down the cable of that crane, went right through the box and hit that man's upstretched hand and right through his body and laid him flat into the water. Well, they rushed up to find hope and thinking that they were going to pick up a dead man. But he was still breathing. A great big black man picked him up and rushed him to the dispensary. And he stood at the head of the examining table as they watched and they sought to save his life and to revive him. And after a while, Brother Marcellus returned to consciousness. And when he came to and was able to articulate, the black man stood at his face and he said, Mr. Marcellus, do you speak a foreign language? He said, no. You sure you don't speak a foreign language? No. He said, Mr. Marcellus, you do speak a foreign language. He said, no, I don't. Well, he said, I heard it. He said, from the moment I picked you up, he said, the moment I carried you all across this big yard, and all the time you've been lying here unconscious, you've been speaking a foreign language. And then Brother Marcel thought for a minute. Oh, he said, does it sound like this? And he started to pray in tongues, and the black man said, that's it. That man had the ends of his gloves burned off, and his fingers were burned crisp. The bottom of his shoes were burned out, and the bottom of his feet were burned black. And yet that man had no pain, and that man had no scars. That man was not allowed to work for 30 days. But they didn't want to have an accident record on the naval thing, and so they put him in the office and gave him full pay for 30 days, and thousands of people came every day to see this miracle man, man had been praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. He'd been building up his faith. And when he needed a miracle, his body couldn't help him, his mind couldn't help him, but his spirit laid hold of a miracle. Laid hold of a miracle. And he became a living testimony. One day I was called to the bedside of a woman, 79 years of age, died. She and her husband just celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. He was weeping in the side, in the doorway. I knew that it was cutting him deep because she was nearer heaven than she was earth. And to break the silver cord was hurting. She was so weak, her voice was like paper, and her hand was so weak she couldn't raise it off the bed and shake hands. And I pray in the spirit constantly. I pray as I drive around the road. I pray while I'm brushing my teeth. I pray all the time. When I stood there by the bed, I didn't know how to pray. How do you pray? Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better. To die is gain. To have all you want in this world and to die is still gain. To have perfect health and to die is still gain. If you die young, it's still gain. No matter when you die, it's still gain. Sometimes I wonder how we should pray for these old saints who serve God. And I didn't know. And I began to pray in the Holy Spirit and just pour out my heart. And in a moment, after a while, I don't know how long I prayed, I heard words. Why did you do it? And I looked, and the woman that couldn't talk to me when I came in and couldn't raise her hand off the bed was sitting bolt upright with strength. I said, do what? And she told me a story I couldn't believe. It never happened. She said, while you prayed, I died. I looked to her husband for confirmation. He wasn't there. He was in the front room, and you could hear him weeping for sorrow. He just cried. He'd seen the breath stop. He'd seen the eyes of his wife roll back. He'd seen the chin hang. He saw death come. And he laughed. And then I knew she was telling the truth. And she said, I was escorted on a light path. She said, I came up to this glorious city. And she said, one of the most beautiful gates swung open. As it swung open, she said, Jesus met me at the gate. She said, one look at him melted my heart. She said, if there had been any resistance at all to his will, she said, that was completely melted. She said, I want to do explicitly his will. And I think sometimes when we have a problem and wanting to do the will of God, let's look at the face of Jesus. Get close enough to see him. We find ourselves being tempted to turn in other directions. Get close enough to Jesus, it'll solve your problems of your will. Jesus just raised his hands to her and said, not now. Not now. She said, I wanted to go in, but I'd already bowed my will to him. And she said, I was turned around. And she said, I looked down that path of light. She said, I saw my limp body on the bed. She said, I saw my husband weeping and crying. She said, I saw you standing there beside my bed. And she said, I heard your language of the Spirit coming up to the throne of God. It gets through. It gets through. And she said, I was escorted back to earth. And like a hand fits into a glove, she said, I came into my body and I'm perfectly whole. And she said, Pastor, if you get out of here, I'll get dressed. This was Friday. Sunday, Sister Hart Jones stood in the church. Maybe you remember her, Brother Fleming. Sister Hart Jones stood in the church and gave this testimony of God's miraculous ministry to her. And she lived 5 more years. Was it Paul Shock? Absolutely not. It was that ministry of approach to God, of praying in the Holy Ghost, so that when a gift of faith or a gift of miracles, what a gift is needed, it was able to operate it will operate. Better we do less talking to each other and more talking to God and praying in the Spirit. So that we can be men of the Spirit. Men of the dynamic of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 15. Time is leaving me so fast I think it's eternity. I'll have to go back to my text. Where is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. What is it then? I will pray into the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I don't know whether you do this, but I do it. I have a mental image of all the characters of the Bible. Do you? I do. I don't know if when I get there it'll be anything like it, but I think of Peter as being kind of round and robust and, well, maybe half bald-headed. I kind of think of John, tall and thin and skinny, kind of wiry. I think of Paul as a weazened up little old Jew. I can't picture him as a big John Hull. And yet the rascal says, I'm going to sing, people. I'm going to sing. I can see him as a missionary. I can see him as a tent maker. I can see him as a preacher. I can see him as everything else. But I can't see him as a singer. But he tells us how he's going to do it. I will sing with the Spirit. I don't know if you're like me, but when the musical gifts were passed out, I was behind the door. The brother just passed on. Ray had the musical ability of the whole family. He could play anything. He could go to the piano and play it. He can play the pipe organ. Somebody give him a violin. He can play a violin. He could play any instrument you gave him. The only thing I can play is the radio. And when I try to start a song, that's why I had difficulty yesterday, but if I don't hear the note, it's through. Because the tune is not on earth. It's not on earth. It's unearthly. And I've had pianist finger across the keyboard, and oh, it's down between someplace. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're like me. But I always want to sing. I want to sing. I want to sing a lot. Hallelujah, I can. By the Holy Spirit. And thank God, the song of the Spirit is back in the churches. Thank God we're not ashamed to lift our hands and begin to sing in tongues. Thank God we're moving in the dimension of giving praise unto God through a joyful new song. David must have been Pentecostal. He's always telling the people, now sing a new song to the Lord. Sing a new song as if they're all composers. Well, Paul tells us we are. Ephesians 5. 18 and 19, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Making melody. Not only just singing songs that you know, but making melody unto the Lord. You become a composer of spiritual songs, and I've got news for you. They have not all been written yet. They haven't all been written yet. They haven't all been put down to a score. The Holy Ghost still has a lot more glory to give to Jesus. He's got a lot more worship to give to Jesus. He's got a greater dimension of praise to give to Jesus. And he wants you to be the channel through which that can operate. Not great. Sundays in our church, when I was pastoring in Oakland, we always had a row or two of Catholics. We had a Monsignor come in incognito every Sunday night. You know, a Monsignor is just third down from the Pope. He'd come in a turtleneck shirt and a sports coat and glasses, and everybody knew he was incognito. But I never bothered him. I let him come. Until one Sunday night, the Holy Spirit said to me, call him forward. I said, no, Lord, he wants to be quiet. He wants to be unseen. He said, call him forward. I said, Lord, it'll embarrass him. Isn't it funny how we talk to God? Did you ever argue with God? Did you ever win the argument? We're so stupid. But we do it. We just keep doing it. finally I said, all right, Lord, fearing and trembling, I said, the Monsignor is here, and maybe you folks don't know it, but I said, I'd like to introduce him to the congregation. Would you come? And he came for his name was Markovich. He came, he stood beside me, and he said, Pastor, he said, I'm glad that you called me. He said, this is the last service I'll be able to attend in your church. And I knew that the Holy Spirit had a reason. He said, I'm being transferred to Peru. And he said, I want to take this Pentecostal message to all my Catholic friends and Catholic ministers and Catholic nuns in Peru. And he said, oh, I wish that you'd pray for me. And so the Assemblies of God Deacon Board laid hands upon the Pope's emissary and sent him off to Peru in the power of the Holy Ghost. I've heard since from that old boy. He just thrilled the devil what God's doing. One Sunday morning in that service, this Catholics came in. The head of the music, the head of the art department came regular, and she brought a newcomer this morning. It was the head of the music department of the College of the Holy Dames. And I had a music director that was second to none. He always tuned up the spirits of the choir more than he tuned up their voices. He'd spend at least a half hour or so every practice night instructing them and giving them the truth that they're not performing, they're ministering. People just absolutely were trying to get in that choir. They had as many out to practice as they have had on Sunday mornings to sing. It was an actual revival service, the choir practiced these nights. And so they sang this Sunday morning, opened the gates of the temple. When they finished it, the Holy Spirit took it up, and the whole congregation began to worship in spirit, singing and making melody in their hearts. Well, the music director's eyes were so wide, she'd never heard anything like that. And she turned to the art director, and she said, what are they doing? She said, they're singing in the spirit. He said, do they know what they're doing? She said, no. Well, she said, you know that they're singing the most difficult chord in music? And they weren't trained to? None of us were trained to sing even the most simple chord. And this music director heard the most difficult chord in music. And the art director didn't know what it was either. She said, what is it? The music director said, it's the pentatonic chord. Oh, the art director said, no wonder, they're Pentecostal.